Oh boy. Oh boy. We are less than 12 hours from the NFL draft at the time that you will be hearing this podcast. We are less than a week away from the all-important CFL draft at the time this is coming out, because it'll be hitting your ears on Thursday morning as Wade Zanketa and myself, Connor O'Neill, are recording on a Wednesday night. We are going to get into some NFL prospects that are Canadian, obviously. We're going to be getting into the CFL draft fits as well. But to segue us into this NFL Canadian world that we're going to be living in for the next few minutes, I do have a bit of a segue, but I have to ask first, Wade, how you doing?
I feel like this is a loaded question. I'm doing pretty damn well. I mean, it's a bit cold here in Eastern Ontario, but football practices are underway. NFL draft, CFL draft. Summer is like 2 months away. I can taste the summer holidays. East-West Bowl is a couple weeks away. Connor, this is
right around the corner.
Fantastic time of year for us. So
yeah,
of course, gonna be doing great. And I'm making a kick-ass dinner tonight. Yeah, it's just, and I'm making cinnamon buns for dessert. Like, I am.
So you're having a day is what you're
saying.
That
is my level of enjoyment with life right now, is I'm making effing cinnamon buns. Like,
love it.
Come on.
I'll give you the address for Quebec here and you can send some.
Are you not driving home this week?
I can just come through. I can just cut through Brockville on Friday and pick some up myself. Lansdowne, my bad.
If they last until Friday, Connor, you know my sweet tooth is real.
True. I did live with you for a while. My sweet tooth is just as bad. So anyways, I digress. Let's get into this. A note off the top that is going to segue us into the Canadian prospects we are excited for in the NFL draft. The CFL did recently just release the spring edition, the final edition of the CFL Scouting Bureau. Going to go through that really quick. We're not going to spend too much time on this. At one, the reigning champ, Isaiah Adams, not going anywhere, holding firm. Theo Johnson jumps up to two. Tanner McLaughlin jumps up to three. Kyle Hergel jumps up to four. Theo Benedict takes a slide from two to five. Joel Dubolenko finds himself on this list at six. Nick Mardner, Giovanni Manu, Jeffrey Canton-Arcou, Kevin Mitau coming in from 20 to 10. That dude had a freaking combine, and it's showing on this list. Aneem Dankwa sliding back to 11. Gabe Wallace sliding back to 12. Daniel Okpoko, Nathaniel Dumoulin-Duguay jumping up to 18. Jumping up to 14 from 18. Wade's guy, Christina Kanu, Daniel Johnson, Malik Straker, Del Duncan Busby, Luke Brubaker finding himself back on this list. Was not ranked on the winter edition, is back ranked on the list at 19, and Kevin Sclerosius slides in at the final spot at 20. We're not going to dive into this list, as I said, but we are talking about some NFL prospects. So wait, let's highlight the guys that are likely to hear their name called sometime in the next few days. Might not be tomorrow night, might not be Friday. Who could some of these guys be that we might hear, you know, Friday later in the rounds, or a Saturday, Sunday type guys?
I think the
or hell, obvious, even a day one guy with Gio, potentially.
Gio, no.
Taking top 30 visits?
Top 30 visits are not top 30.
No, it doesn't mean
picks.
Anything. I'm just getting people excited.
What I will do here is, I think the obvious one is Isaiah Adams. I think everyone is mocking him to go early in day two. I saw a mock where the Ravens got him, and I'm like, oh, he'd be a day one starter with Baltimore.
Yes.
That would be fantastic if Isaiah Adams came over to the Ravens. Theo Johnson, the tight end from Holy Names Catholic in Windsor, Ontario, by way of Penn State. Holy Names, like the Windsor area, Connor, it always
Windsor football
me
is a thing.
How much like they put out in terms of talent.
Yeah.
I know one of my good friends is a coach in the Windsor area, and he coaches Essex Ravens and all the nine yards. And like every year I say to him, like, how are you guys? He's like, you would not believe the athleticism that I have. And I'm like, Andrew, like, come on. How good? He's like, no, it's a step above what anyone really expects when you hear Windsor. But Isaiah Adams, Theo Johnson, Tanner McLaughlin, I think, is going to be higher than a lot of people think. Gio Manu, Kyle Hergel, Of course, we have like Daniel Johnson from Purdue. There's lots of talent there, but I think though the first five I mentioned are probably the ones that we're likely to hear go.
No, I agree with you, especially, I mean, I'm going to circle back to Isaiah Adams here a little bit, but I mean, geez, man, when we look at his 2023 season, he started all 12 games in 2023. He was a team captain. He was an all Big Ten honorable mention, all academic Big Ten, like Reese's Senior Bowl and NFL Combine invite. I think it's a foregone conclusion that Isaiah Adams is going to land in the NFL draft. It's just a matter of where and when with Isaiah Adams. I think, you know, similar things can be said about Theo Johnson. As much as I would love to see Theo Johnson land in the CFL somewhere, there's just too much to love about a guy, you know, that in 2023 plays most of his games, career high in receptions, ends up with 7 touchdowns and leads the team or tied for the team lead in touchdowns. I mean, come on, that's pretty undeniable as well. And obviously guys like Tanner McGlaughlin, we know he's making noise up there, and Kyle Hergel as well. But with guys like, you know, Theo and Gio, what do you think? And I guess we've been having this conversation.
Like Theo Benedet or Theo Johnson?
Theo Benedet. When I'm saying Gio and Theo paired together, you know it's the UBC T-Bird twins there. So Theo and Gio, obviously we're talking about Isaiah Adams, Johnson, McLaughlin as guys that are going. They're almost pretty much foregone conclusions, see and ever type guys. Theo Benedet and Giovanni Manu are edging that territory. Gio, I think, certainly is finding himself in that territory. But, you know, what do you think for fans out there, the realistic expectation for these guys are? Because I'm going to limit this. I'm really going to zoom in on the offensive line position and Canadian talent at the offensive line position at that, because we have seen, you know, Pierre-Olivier Lestage get the look with the Seahawks. Carter O'Donnell has never come back. And Laurent Duvernay-Tardif very famously made himself a great career there with the Chiefs. So the prospect of being a Canadian offensive lineman right now and you know, whether it's on a practice roster or as a reserve, like kind of rotational guy, it's a pretty damn good time to be a talented Canadian offensive lineman right now.
Yeah, and I think when we look at like even Nathan Rourke, the value, and there's no slight to the CFL, but the value of being on an NFL practice roster as opposed to a CFL game roster, active roster, for some of these guys is astronomical. You are right there. Coaches can see you. Teams can pick you up. You can play in the preseason. And you're going to make more, if not equal, especially on a rookie contract, you're going to make more as a practice roster player in the NFL. So for these guys like Gio and Theo, who are definitely going to get camp invites, I think Giovanni Manu is going to be a quick UDFA signing if he is not picked up right away. He could be a Carter O'Donnell situation, Connor, where they throw a ton of cash at him as a UDFA to say, come on, quickly. Now, with Theo a little bit more slender in his frame, maybe he fits the CFL game a bit more, but he's going to for sure get a look. And how much does that affect him? Maybe a couple picks in the CFL draft. But Giovanni Manu, I think is a see and ever player in with the likes of Theo Johnson, Tanner, Isaiah Adams.
No, I do agree with you. I really do agree with you, but sticking on the offensive lineman here just for a second more, because there's a lot of them here on the spring edition of the CFL Scouting Bureau. Guys like Daniel Johnson from Purdue, as we mentioned, Christina Kanu from Washington State, even a Gabe Wallace from Buffalo and Ian Dankwa from Howard. What do you think their outlooks are? I've got my opinions. I'm sure we're going to get into this, but you know, what do you think their opinion is? What do you think their outlooks are? Even a guy like Kyle Hergel, I didn't mention him yet. He's ranked as the fourth prospect here on the scouting bureau list coming from Boston College. Guys like Hergel, Wallace, Dankwa, Nakanu, Johnson, where are we looking at with them?
I believe when we group all those names together, Connor, it's almost like there's something that is not going to grant them that opportunity at the second level in terms of the NFL. You look at Christina Kanu, his body of work is really strong, but his body style and shape is not really a prototypical NFL body. And they can find someone with a similar body of work that also matches their play style and frame and what have you. As for the other offensive linemen, I just don't know if the play and tape is strong enough to match and Isaiah Adams, because Isaiah Adams, I've seen anywhere from second round to fifth round. So if he goes fifth round, I think the other guys are for sure out and maybe get a mini camp invite, but ultimately they're coming back up to the CFL and they'll be playing in one of our nine lovely stadiums this summer. So I don't think their draft stock is going to get hurt as much, which is why when you see Marshall's second mock draft, Kyle Hergel's going fourth. They steal from Calgary to get him there, but no sacks, two pressures in 2023. He's very well balanced, but at Boston College, was he facing that top end interior pass rush that other centers in this draft are?
Like an Isaiah Adams coming out of Illinois who played against Big Ten pass rushes.
Easy way Michigan's to pump Michigan. Pass rush. Thanks. Yeah, easy way to pump your Michigan Wolverines. Hey, did you see Jimothy got his tattoo?
I did. I was debating it. Coach is going to do it.
If you go to Ann Arbor, your travel sleeve tattoo on your leg has to add the Block M 15. I'm getting a Block M. Same one.
15-0.
Same one that Jim Harbaugh got. No year, nothing. Just Block M 15-0. No color, just black.
I know we do have the power of retrospective editing here, but I want to put this into the air once again. When I return to Michigan, specifically return to Ann Arbor, my right leg has been designated to travel tattoos. I have one from Quebec City. I have two from Vancouver. Well, one from Whistler, one from Vancouver. When I return to Ann Arbor, I will be getting a Block M with the year 2023 and the record of 15-0. No asterisks for all you college football fans out there. Take one and shove it. No asterisks. 15-0 season for the Michigan Wolverines. Now, I'm done.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more specifically. Obviously, we've talked about Isaiah Adams, but and kind of the poise and the gravitas that he brings. But let's talk about some of the other guys, namely the two tight ends.
I got a bold take. I got a bold take since we're getting into the tight ends.
Now, what I am really interested about is the fact that these tight ends, when you're playing Canadian football, I always say your H or your R, like your third receiver in a 32 set. This is the tight end body type. And Theo Johnson and Tanner McLaughlin are products of that, where you have to be fast enough to run and outrun safeties to get open. But you also have to be big enough to tango with defensive ends and defensive tackles. They play in American style. They both come from completely different university programs, where Theo is run in I formation and pro style, and Arizona's more, hey, let's spread it out and throw the damn ball. But they are both superb athletes. And where I don't think their draft stock is high in the NFL because of the, I don't know, for Theo, not as much volume, but pass blocking, run blocking, being a part of the set many years in a row. I think as pass catchers, these guys are two of the most elite in this year's NFL draft.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I agree with you so much that my bold take is that Theo Johnson is going to be the first Canadian taken in the NFL draft.
You saw that mock draft I sent you where he was going to the Lions, right?
I did not.
I sent it to you on Instagram. I made sure to send it on the page, and it was like pick 105 to the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my goodness. No, I saw that come through, but I missed that.
Yeah,
I like that. Obviously, I like that.
But with the two tight ends, like Tanner McLaughlin has a run after catch ability that I think a lot of receivers wish they had, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Mind you, he is so damn large that he makes himself a tight end because of it.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Tanner McLaughlin, I think the first thing that you notice in terms of like, I'm not going to say negative, but in terms of like a mark against McLaughlin, maybe. Yeah, his speed a little bit. Could he be faster? Sure. But he's also like, what, 6'5", 230, 220 plus pounds. Not really worried about the speed when Tanner McLaughlin decides he's just going to drop a shoulder and go through you and or jump over you. We've seen that time and time again from this kid.
Okay, let's look at this. CBS player rankings. I categorize it by tight ends. Brock Bowers, freak of nature from Georgia. Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, more of a run blocker. Jatavion Sanders from Texas, a really athletic, kind of like Tanner and Theo Johnson. Then it's Cade Stover from Ohio State. I know you don't want to hear that. And then it's Theo Johnson. So he is the fifth ranked tight end in this draft, according to CBS. Tanner McLaughlin is the 10th ranked tight end, but he is seen as a really raw prospect. Don't forget whose record Tanner McLaughlin broke at Arizona for tight ends. The Rob Gronkowski. There is something to be said about whose records you break when you're in school.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree. I was about to pose the question to you, which of these two tight ends do you think is more likely to end up in the CFL? But I think the answer to that is neither. I don't think either of these guys are going to grace us with their presence north of the border. So I'm not even going to entertain the question. I'm not going to ask you the question. So I think we can move on from that question.
All right, let's start to look at CFL draft a bit more. Actually, who do you hope your Lions take in round one?
It's a great question. And would you like to know the honest answer?
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. I have become a fan. I love the draft. Don't get me wrong. I love the draft. But I used to care so much about what the Lions were doing with the pick because they always had a high pick.
Who was it that we laughed at you for because you were screaming about one pick? Oh, it was Jeff Okuda. That's who you were screaming over.
I never liked that pick. Never did I like that pick. Never. Never liked that pick. Just like the picks that Jeff Okuda never got for the Detroit Lions. Anyways. Or
the picks he accumulated for them when they traded him away.
I used to care so much about what the Lions did in the draft because they were terrible. They were always drafting high. Now they're drafting late rounds. I don't care. I care. I don't get me wrong. I care who they pick, but I'm not getting as worked
up. It's such a crapshoot.
I got my guy Aiden Hutchinson. I'm okay.
It's such a crapshoot by the time you get to the end of the round that it's just like, cool. We got a good prospect that slipped. Okay.
Yeah.
Like when the Ravens got Kyle Hampton, I was like, let's go. How do we get him in the middle of the round?
They have been linked to, oh my God, his name is escaping me right now, but the talented wide receiver from South Carolina with the absolutely incredible voice. The Lions have been linked to him and it's exciting, but when you go out and pay Amon-Ra St. Brown $30 million a year for the next 4 years, plus you have Jameson Williams, plus you have, you know,
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Did you mention that extension?
I did. Thank you very much. While you were Googling, I said you're paying Amon-Ra St. Brown $30 million a year for the next 4 years. So I don't think you need to go out and get Leggett. But no, I don't know. Defensive help, I guess. There's some good corners.
Yeah.
In this draft.
I've seen the Ravens with Kool-Aid McKinstry, which I'm like, two Alabama corners from the first round. That would be nice.
Sign me up.
I've also seen they get an offensive lineman, which I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, I don't think that there's a whole lot of like mystery where a lot of teams are looking to go. It's just kind of who's going to jump who's going to draft what player at that position and where. We're going to get like 5 or 6 trades tomorrow night, I think. It's going to be one of those years where it's just, oh, we have a trade. Oh, we have a trade. Oh, we have a trade. And it's going to be chaos and it's going to be magical.
My ultimate wish, not even like, I guess is a wish. My ultimate, like if I could live in a parallel universe where I could like do anything I wanted, my ultimate wish would be to influence the draft tomorrow, make Jim Harbaugh trade away Justin Herbert for some insane package, and then draft JJ McCarthy and Blake Corum. I want them both reunited with Jim.
After signing Gus and JK?
Yeah, don't care.
Know what? I hope that Justin Herbert is freed from the pain of Greg Roman sooner rather than later. Whether I like him on the charts, I really do, but Greg Roman with Justin Herbert's skill set is going to be criminal.
Yes.
Okay. CFL team picks. Like we're slotting guys
picks,
in.
Picks? Yeah, yeah.
We I are, think we've we got are more than ready to start slotting here. Guys in.
Whether or not it's going to pan out, we have no idea, but we do have some. There's a couple guys that were just like, this guy is going to this team because it just makes sense. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but we got a feeling.
Okay, your number one slot pick, and some of these are going to counter Marshall, but number one pick that we are slotting in.
I'm going to start it off with Ottawa. Tweeted this out when the news broke that Williams was going to be down for the year for the Red Blacks. I said, wonder if Ottawa starts to pick up a little bit more interest in Michael Kreciak. And, you know, I got a response from the guys at, I think it was Shane from 13th Man. He goes, it's really interesting, but I don't know if Ottawa is going to run with two Canadian running backs. What happens this week? Ottawa Gigi, friend, former teammate, Jackson Bennett, retires, decides to hang him up, walk away from the game, leaving the door wide open, I think, for the Ottawa Redblacks to draft Michael Kreciak. And I do want to say, I know I just mentioned Jackson Bennett announcing his retirement, so I want to take 1 second, if I may, here, Wade. And
never forget, a linebacker led the OUA in return yards, or seemed to lead the OUA in return yards.
Yeah. Man, that Jackson Bennett was a special, special player to watch, an incredible person to get to know. And just honest to goodness, one of the kindest people I had the chance of knowing at the University of Ottawa. A guy that good at the game of football should have a mean streak, should have an edge of just F you, no matter what, whether you're on the field or not. Like there's a sense of arrogance when guys are that damn good. Not with this guy at all. So Jackson, I don't know if you listen to this or not, anybody who does, maybe show him this clip from Wade and I, but Wade and I wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Okay, so your number one slot in is Ottawa with Michael Kreciak. I think that's a second round pick, like top of second round, just throw him in.
I think it made sense, like I said, like for Ottawa to be interested in a guy like Michael Kreciak with
Marshall has him in round three to Ottawa.
So I mean, it makes so much sense with everything happening in Ottawa right now. Not to mention that he went out and had a stellar combine. So that is my number one, signs flashing, alarm bells ringing. This just makes sense.
Okay, I'm going to say Ottawa taking a receiver. I don't know who it is at number two. Whether it's Mittal or Mardner or Clercius, I don't know. I think Mittal to me would be really cool, but Ottawa taking a receiver at number two is a must. We've talked about how just not devoid of talent, but just lack of production over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the guys at receiver. It's because of their quarterback situation, Mazzoli getting hurt, and then
100%.
They're just kind of sitting in that limbo area. But Nate Behar is not coming back. You add a big threat in Dom Rhymes. And get another talent. Like the more you have, right? If you're going to run five wide with five really damn good receivers and make it tough for teams to key on you. Make it tough for them to, you know, we're going to give up a 5-yard route because we don't want to cover wasted space. But that 5-yard route could turn into 15 or 20 because you just have a bowling ball at Kevin Mittal. Or, you know, you have Dom Rhymes, who's a freak of nature. Like, all of these different variables will come into play eventually. So Ottawa gets a receiver.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like, you brought back Dominic Rhymes. Why not pair him up with a Kevin Mittal, a Nick Mardner, a Del Duncan Busby, a take your pick, because there's a lot of damn talented wide receivers in the CFL draft class. Like, it does. I like it. All right. Speaking of wide receivers fitting into teams, again, I'm with your notion of what just happened for Ottawa for you, but I'm going to take this and apply it to Toronto. You just lost Curley Gittens Jr. in a pretty decent return in the trade package. But you lose Curley Gittens Jr. Your most outstanding receiver was a nominee for most outstanding Canadian. I lost it to Nathan Rourke. What are you going to do? Incredible year by that guy. But Curley Gittens Jr., man, like, he was, for all intents and purposes, the 1 or 1A or 1B for the Toronto Argonauts for the last two seasons. So I do think there's a gaping hole. And I know that they have some damn talented receivers. But again, if you have the opportunity here to address a loss the size of Curley Gittens Jr. and get the talent of, say, a Kevin Mitel, why not go do that? We saw them do it a few years ago and have success, find success, consistency at least, with a guy like Dejon Brissett. They have been willing to spend this draft capital on receivers before. Why not now do it again when you know you could go get the Heck Crichton winner? You could go get a guy like Nick Martiner if he's available. I don't know. Makes sense for me. I like it, especially the Kevin Mitel fit specifically in Toronto. I think he could play and fill a similar void as to what Curley Gittens Jr. was doing.
Winnipeg, Luke Brubaker. I'm hitting you with another one. We talked about this when we did our mock draft, but we really want him to go there. I really want him to go there. You've got such a great core of developing players on Winnipeg, national players, let alone your defensive line, which is stacked up with these alien body frames and athleticism talents. Go add the biggest alien in this draft. Like, that's cool that Kevin Mitel is as heavy as he was and ran as well as he did and catches the ball and makes guys miss. Nobody is built like Brubaker. No, he is true. Taller than you think. He is stronger than you think. We didn't get to see him bench at the combine because of his shoulder from last fall.
But let me ask you a question about that. Are you worried about him benching?
No, I'm not. I've seen him walk enough offensive linemen around the field that I know he's going to do well. But to me, Luke Brubaker, Winnipeg, is my... I think they're going to start to look at, let's find someone to start take reps away from our main guys so that they're more fresh for the Grey Cup and kind of start preparing for the future. What a better prospect can you find? Or how much better of a prospect can you find than Brubaker? That's my one. I'm going to leave you the layup for the end, but...
I'm going to take you in a little bit of a different direction here. Okay. I'm going to take you in a little bit of a different direction here. This is probably... I know we're talking fits, but this is also kind of wants a little bit too. So this one for me, the last one for sure is absolutely a fit. It's a fit. It works. This one for me, I'm going to call it more of a want than a fit, because I don't necessarily know if it's a need for this team, but I'm going to say it anyways because I didn't get a chance to mock it. So I'm going to say it. Kalyn St-Cyr paired with Marc-Antoine Ducroix on the back end for the Montreal Carabins, running together and causing freaking havoc. Kalyn St-Cyr to the Montreal Alouettes.
Oh,
I want to see it so bad. Or Nathaniel Dumoulin-Duguay in the early rounds of the Montreal Alouettes. One of those two.
Marshall has him reuniting with Retta Cramdy at 37 to the Bombers.
All right, whatever.
But that's Ford, Kelly, Hallett, Cramdy, St-Cyr. Big that's crowded insane. For Canadian. That is really stacked up.
That'd be crazy, man. That's like a U Sports All-Star team.
I think Kalyn St-Cyr is going to be fantastic wherever he goes. But I'm with you. I'm always down to see the Carabins stick with their man in Danny Muchocha. I really like it. Of course, Marshall has been on, I think tomorrow is their CFL availability. Him and Dwayne talking draft and talking what to expect. But we're here as well, talking on a Thursday. NFL draft. We got to look at some of our guys, talk about it a bit. Then we talked about some of our key fits. So hope you enjoyed it. Let us know who you're hoping your team picks up. Obviously, there's lots of talent, but we all have our favorites. We don't even hide it. We just say it's a Carabins for Connor usually. But
It is. It has been. It's a pattern.
Enjoy. Take care. Enjoy the NFL draft. May your team draft everyone you ever hope. May all of our Canadians find wonderful homes south of the border. But if not, we're going to be excited to see you north of the border.
Go sign your contract, go make your money, and then come back next year and let us watch you in the CFL. It'd be great. Best case scenario for me.
And with anyways, that's all. Good night. At Connor R. O'Neill, at Wade Zank, at CF Perspective. Check out fox40shop.com for 15% off all your whistle needs. Enjoy the draft. See you guys next week. He looks like me.